Good morning, folks. Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church here on this Sunday, March the 15th. I'm looking out at empty pews, right? But because of all that we've shared in Christ, I could see a lot of your faces where you're going to be sitting. And my mind is focused on 4 weeks from now, Easter Sunday. I'm looking around and I can already see the joy that I'm going to be watching on your faces as we sing together, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. It's the victory that Jesus brought that causes us to be able to have peace and joy in the midst of what any day brings us. So that's our hope in this video service that you're about to watch, that you're going to be comforted. Rejoice. Enjoy the joy of the Lord that we share together as you sit where you are today. So God bless you.
In Christ the Lord, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burned through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
By this virus, whether you know somebody or you don't. We have a lot of people in the country and in the world who are being affected by this virus, but honestly, I think we all feel that sense of vulnerability where We don't know what's going to happen and what we're going to do. So I'm going to offer up a prayer for all of us, really, but I'm going to base my prayer on Psalm 91. That's a psalm I've been going to over the past few days for both comfort and a reminder of God's promises. So I'm going to be reading and praying, but notice in the psalm, it refers over and over to you, and we want to make this personal. So every place that it says you, I want you to be putting yourself or the person that you love in there. And then at the end of the psalm, the last three verses, is God's response to us, and that's very personal. And I want you to remember that God is speaking to you today as well. So let's pray. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, thank you that we can dwell in the shelter of who you are. And Lord, we have to be close to you to be in your shadow. So God, draw us close to yourself, and thank you that we're able to be drawn. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Lord, let that be our prayer, that we would not be affected or concerned or overwhelmed with the circumstances around us, but Lord, we would go to you as our refuge and our shelter, and remind us that we can trust you. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Lord, thank you that you promised to deliver us. And Lord, even, Lord, like little birds, we are vulnerable to the snare, the traps of the fowler. Lord, the biggest trap I think we have is fear and anxiety and doubt. So Lord, deliver us from those things. And thank you, Lord, that you've delivered us already from our greatest disease, which is sin. You've conquered it on the cross, and we can trust that and take assurance in that, Lord. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. Lord, thank you that you are not only powerful, but you are gentle. And just like the eagle or the mother hen, you gather your little chicks under your wings to protect them, but also to give them warmth and strength. Lord, we ask you for that same warmth and strength today. Lord, cover us and let your faithfulness be our shield and our refuge and our armor. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Lord, don't let fear overwhelm our hearts. Lord, anyone who's affected by this or may already be sick does not mean that you have forsaken them, Lord, that you have given us now an opportunity to trust you even more. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and vigor to those who are affected, and that you would bring strength and warmth to our hearts. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Lord, thank you for that promise, that no matter what happens to us on the outside, to our bodies, Lord, we are being renewed day by day. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. Lord, help us to remember that part of the promise is in order to receive your protection, to receive your care, to know your armor and shield around us, Lord, we have to draw near to you. You have to be our dwelling place. You have to be the place that we go to, Lord, and no place else. Help us to run to you, Lord, and to stay there. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Lord, thank you that we are not left to our own devices, but you have your angels. Lord, that's your promise, that your angels will guard us in all of our ways. Lord, and it's not just one angel that we need, but a host of your heavenly army around us. Lord, thank you that you send your ministering spirits to minister to us and to our hearts in our time of need. And it says in verse 13, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Lord, thank you that we do not have to just sit here on the defensive waiting to be attacked, but Lord, you promise victory to those who trust in you. Lord, we can be on the offensive. Lord, help us to look for those who are in need, and that we might reach out, Lord, and meet those needs, especially any who are sick or suffering or vulnerable. Lord, that we would call them and visit them or do their grocery shopping. Lord, that we would be the light, Lord, in this world, and that we'd reach out especially to those who don't know you, Lord, to spread love and grace and mercy to everyone around us, Lord. And now here's the Lord speaking back to us in these last few verses. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Lord, thank you that you hold fast to me and you do it in love. Lord, not in anger or not out of obligation, but you do it in love. Lord, deliver us. Hold fast to us. Protect us, Lord. Help us that we can know your name. Lord, not just know it in our head, but we can know it personally and deeply in our inner being, in our innermost heart. Lord, thank you for that promise. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Lord, thank you that when we call to you, you not only hear, but you answer us, Lord, and you don't do it disgruntled or out of obligation or out of frustration, but you do it longingly like a father answers his child. Thank you that you're with us in trouble. Thank you that you rescue us. And not only that, but you honor us, Lord. You lift us up. And then you close the psalm with this promise, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, I pray that we can cling to you, and Lord, that we know that we have long life because we have eternal life if we trust in you. And Lord, show us your salvation. Lord, we pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. This is a comfort to you.
Hey there, folks. We're trying to kind of pray for different areas that are affected. And so bow with me where you are. I'm going to pray for some of our professionals. Almighty God, I just thank you that as we come to you, we know you hear us. And I simply come to you right now as asking your protection and care around those in our medical community. In our church family, we've got numerous ones involved, but in the community at large, protect our doctors and nurses and assistants and all the medical staff that obviously are hands-on in dealing with any type of virus or sickness that's affecting the public. So we ask your protection over them. Thank you for their care and courage. We pray also, Lord, for our police department, for our first aid, our first responders, as they, again, are caring, entering into close contact with those in need. We ask you to just watch over them, protect them, give them your strength and discernment and wisdom and care. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Christine. I'm from Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I also teach at Maud Wilkins Elementary School in Mapleshade. I just want to take a moment as we're each praying for different areas of our town. I just want to pray for those involved in the educational impact that the COVID-19 has on all of us. So would you please bow with me as we lift up those in the educational world together? Thanks. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for just the peace that you give us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you allow us to look to you and know that you have this all under control. Right now, Lord, I specifically pray for the administrators of Mapleshade. I lift up Beth Norsha, our superintendent, and the Board of Education members who need to make a decision about what activities were going on in our schools and how long we would need to be off, Lord. This is not an easy decision to make. Knowing that we need to be home for the next 38 days, Lord, but still continue our actual educational teachings, Lord, we just pray that you're with each member in the community. Lord, we lift up the parents who now feel the weight of needing to homeschool their children, Lord, the parents who are feeling the weight of needing to continue to go to work, but feeling that they need to be there for their children. Lord, we lift up all of those who need to have childcare for their children so that they can continue work, Lord. I just pray that you give them peace and patience and understanding. Lord, I lift up our students. I ask, Lord, that you surround every single student from pre-kindergarten to their senior year, Lord, who needs to go online and basically learn self-discipline and learn how to teach themselves during this time, Lord. Lord, I lift up the teachers. This is very uncharted territory for all of us, Lord. And I ask that you give us wisdom on what work to give our students, to make sure that it's educationally impactful work, to make sure that it continues along with our state alignment and our standards, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you give us wisdom on how to prepare 19 days of school in just a few short days, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom on how to deal with anxieties from students and parents. Lord, I ask that you give our custodians health, that you continue to wrap your arms around them and allow them to not grow weary of tiredness as they're going to be using many cleaners to go through each and every aspect of our schools, Lord. I lift up our secretaries who will continue to be inside the schools, being there for parents and administrators and helping in all that this has created, Lord. Lord, I just ask that as a school community, you continue to give us wisdom and patience and guidance. And Lord, I just ask that you help believers remind unbelievers that you are our focus, that when we know you, we know peace. And Lord, I just thank you for what you've given us and the mindset to handle this virus. And I ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
I don't know if you have a Bible where you are. If you do, I'd encourage you to open it to Psalm 19. If you don't, I'm obviously going to be reading it in just a second. I was thinking about a film that, 70s, 80s, probably 80s, War Games, that Matthew Broderick was in. He was a teenager. He loved online games, you know, and somehow he unknowingly hacked into our military war games. And so he was playing a game, and in real time, the Pentagon and our military leaders thought it was real time and that the Soviets were attacking us. And in one scene, they're looking at this gigantic wall screen and they're tracking these Soviet missiles coming, and the first ones are going to hit, you know, one of our military outposts in Alaska. And so they reach out to that place. Some guy answers the phone and they say, this is the commander of the Joint Chief of Staff. Who's this? And the guy's voice is kind of like Private Smith or whatever. And he says, all right, Private, we're tracking some incoming Soviet missiles and they're going to hit you in 10 seconds. So stay on the line, you know, and the guy's like, all right. And on the screen, you see the missiles exploding at the site, and they are calling out, Private Smith, are you there? Are you there? And then you hear his voice, we're still here! We're still here! With, you know, great excitement. And It made me think about that sense that things in life that can cause us fear and that can almost, for some, you know, suck out your oxygen, cause us to kind of, Lord, reach out. Lord, are you still there? And the great news that obviously we've stood on for such a long time that we didn't create, we've received from the Lord, is that He is still there. But even better, He's still here. He's still here. I think that we're going to begin. I want to give you a practical way of when your fear over the coronavirus or the economy or you being out of work because of it, whatever, step outside and look up into the sky. And I'm going to tell you why that's so practical. Because in Psalm 19, what do we read? In Psalm 19, we read some verses that really tell us to do just that. Verse 1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. You know, when I read these verses, they shout out to me right away, hey, no matter what is happening under your feet, no matter what is happening to your left, no matter what is happening to your right, look up. Because there's one of the things it tells us, and the first is this, the heavens are always speaking to everybody. I mean, think about that. Yesterday, on Saturday, as I was, as we were trying to, you know, wrestling with a decision over to gather, not gather, and how do we reach people, and maybe we failed to reach you, and if so, we apologize, make sure you get us your email, you know, but one of the things can we use email, can we use this app, can we use this video? There's an app that reaches everybody. It's the sky. I mean, it reaches, think about it, it reaches people in the remotest village. It reaches everybody all the time. It says there in verse 2, right? Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. The sky is always talking to everybody all the time, right? About God. Because it's always over all of us. We look up that way. In India, they may be looking up, you know, the opposite direction. But the point is, we're always under the sky. God is always above the sky. And so that leads us to a second thing that we find here. Because of where He is, He's never missing what's happening to you. He sees everything. In Psalm 19, he ends in verse 14 saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Why does he say that? Because he knows you see everything. And so what I'm concerned about is your sight, right? I remember watching, I forget how long ago it was, but an Eagles game, and Chris Collinsworth was one of the commentators, and as the play, actually the Eagles were on defense, which is a good thing because they got one of their rare interceptions. But while Chris Collinsworth is watching the play, the opposing quarterback drops back and he turns to throw. And before he even does, you hear Chris Collinsworth go, oh no. And he throws it and an Eagle defender picks it off. And Collinsworth says, I didn't mean to kind of like speak out of turn there, but he said, it was so obvious from where I'm sitting, you know, that the Eagles were in a drop zone. I can't believe the quarterback didn't see that. But Collinsworth was obviously knew he had a better view. He's sitting above and he saw it all. He watched it happen, right? God sees it all. And there's a third thing. The sky is constantly telling us that because God is above it all, He's unaffected by what's happening under the sky, right? It doesn't affect Him. He's not vulnerable. I don't mean that He doesn't care. I don't mean he's not impacted in His compassion for us. He's not vulnerable. you know, this coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever the official, you know, term is, you know, what we're getting information, you know, it impacts the elderly more than it's impacting children. You know, who's vulnerable to? We're all vulnerable to different things. I'm vulnerable to the length of the day. Boy, you getting into this time of the year where the day is getting longer and longer, I just feel my spirits lifting. In the beginning of December, when the days are just seem like they're shrinking away, I feel it on me, right? God doesn't. He's not impacted by how much rain we got or how much snow we got. He's not impacted by how hot it is. In verse 6, the psalmist is talking, he talks about the sun and the heat that it puts on those who are under it. God's above it. The amazing thought of Psalm 19 is that this is what's been happening all the time since the beginning. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge, right? So it's fascinating to stop and think about looking up into the sky and the value of stepping out and realizing those truths that it's shouting to us. Because it makes me realize that's the same message that Noah heard. Way back in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, you know, Noah has been sitting on that ark. And just think about the chance he had to get up. A year ago, we went to Israel. Greta and I flew to Israel. Many of you at church know that. And I got the flu the day before we got on the plane. And I'll tell you what, that was a horrendous 10-hour plane ride for me, but no doubt for those who were near me. There was no way for me to be able to hide the coughing, my shivering, my feel, all that I was, you know, going through there. I remember getting off the plane and I was still sick, but I remember that sense of, it was a little warmer in Israel, it was sunny, it was morning time. Imagine for Noah getting off the ark. We read now, it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. Right? He steps off. What's still the same? The sky that he's been looking at every day. He could be on the ark, now they had a covering, but he could look up at the sky. He couldn't see the earth. Now he steps out. The earth is beneath his feet. A lot has changed. It's been shaped by those waters. But what's the same? The sky that he's been looking up to, that's been speaking to him of the power of God. As a matter of fact, God even says to him, hey, Noah, I have something for you. Look up at the sky, would you? In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 12, we read, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I'm making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. God says, hey, look at the sky. See the rainbow. Look up! God's affirming that he's above, and he's faithfully working his plan. 1,000 years later, David is, you know, he's there at nighttime, clearly at night, because the way we read the psalm. Maybe he's laying on his back, I don't know, as a shepherd, but I, you know, maybe the thought enters his mind, I'm looking at the same sky. No, I looked at it. David says in Psalm 8, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he says, why? When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've ordained. But what does he say? It tells me that the God above it all loves me, because he says, what is man that you're mindful of us? David's consumed with this sense of, oh, the God above all of this loves me. Such great comfort in that. 1,000 years after David, Jesus says what? Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 16. He says to them, look, you look at the sky and you determine the weather for tomorrow. You know, we say, you know, what, red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, sailor's warning, something like that, right? But Jesus is saying, look at the sky. It's talking to you. In John chapter 11, before he raises Lazarus from the dead, we read, he looks up and he prays. In John 17, when he's in the garden of Gethsemane, it says he looks up and he prays. The point being that the not that God is in the clouds, but that God, the sky is speaking to us of God being above it all, yet that we are so safe in it. Here we are 2,000 years later, and I'm encouraging you to do what? To do the same thing. To look at this foundational truth and to take a step outside today. Look at the sky. Remember what it's telling you. It's been saying the same thing for thousands of years, that God is above it all and he's not impacted by the things that shake us. And yet that God personally cares and loves us. He's working his plan, fear not. But when I read Psalm 19 and I think about the sky shouting out to me, remember that God is above it all, it gives me great confidence in the God that is above it all is also the God who is right here on ground level with us. Psalm 46 says what? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake as at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. As he goes along, he says this at the end, right? Cease striving, be still, and know that I am God. Right? That's at the heart of all this. We don't rejoice in viruses, in tumbling economies, in layoffs, in all the other personal trials that are going on in the midst of that. But we do recognize that they point us to something, that there is an eternal refuge that our feet can stand upon that keeps us from shaking. It's the God of all creation. When my kids were little, they sometimes, you know, your power would go out and I would just hear one or a couple of them, you know, in the darkness. And in the darkness from our bedroom, I would yell out, I'm here, don't worry, stay where you are, I'm coming to you. Right, you know, just kind of so that my voice would carry the day, would calm them. Take a step outside, look up at the sky, and hear the sky saying to you, hey, God is above it all, he's not shaking, but his feet are on the ground with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God. For anybody who's listening, oh Lord, just let them look at the sky, breathe in the joy of your word, and be confident that you are right with them, right where they are. In the name of Jesus, our rock, we pray. Amen.
Hey everyone, I want to thank those of you who have been asking and have already been sending in your offerings. Some of you have been wondering, you know, how you get your gift or your offering to the church, and we appreciate that. We don't know how long we're going to have to suspend services, and we do rely on your continued giving even during this time. So we appreciate those of you who have been asking. And if you already use check or offering envelopes, you can mail those to the office and we'll receive those. Some of you already use the app, that our giving app called Tithely, which is T-I-T-H-E.ly. And for those of you not familiar, it's a way that you can give online. If you search for that on Google, you'll be able to find, and they'll look for Emmanuel Baptist Church, and you can give whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give to us. And we certainly appreciate that. Thank you very much.